Nimm's Rad, der Podcast featuring
Eva Reiko.
Position:
CEO of Amplerbricks.
Home turf:
Estonia.
Latvia or Finland?
Finland.
Bitcoin or Tommy Cash?
Tommy Cash all the way.
Gin tonic or Vanna Tallinn?
I have to go with gin tonic.
If Ampler was a band, what kind of music would you play?
Soul and funk, something upbeat and just enjoyable.
Cool. Which bike have you been taking recently?
I've been riding the Axel from Ampler Bikes. I've been taking it all over Tallinn for the past year or so.
Do you have family?
I do have family. I have a son who's 3 years old, and I have a husband. a very cute pet.
And your husband can already ride his bike through Tallinn. And your son?
Yes, both of them are big bike riders. It's their favorite pastime activity, for sure.
Awesome. Good selection of boys then.
Yes, exactly.
Eva, you're one of the very, very, like, very, very few female CEOs in the bicycle industry.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a bit about how you got there. Mm-hmm. I did a bit of research. It's not so easy. But you're a mechanical engineer. And you've been, is that true?
That is true.
Good research. and you've been with or in the mobility tech industry for over a decade. How come you moved into that industry?
I think that comes from me being already quite young. And I understood that I really would like to, you know, develop something or do something that I can visually see and use. And I've always had kind of a knack for design. And when I was choosing my profession, for a long time, I had no idea what I want to do. At some point, I even thought I'd be a lawyer. But then when I made the decision to go to university, it came kind of naturally. It was product design and production engineering. So I knew that it had a technical aspect to it, but also a kind of a design and a creativity aspect to it, which I really liked. So that's where I started and where this kind of a background actually happened and why it happened.
And how come you moved into the mobility sector? There's so many different options you have as a product developing engineer.
Yeah, I think that was kind of by coincidence. From previous companies where I entered to the connections that I made in the university, I initially kind of ended up in co-module. That was already, I think, 7 or 8 years ago. So it was a long, long time ago.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Can you quickly explain what the brand does?
Co-module connects light electric vehicles. So they are an IoT manufacturer. So one of the pioneers who started a long time ago. I think they also started in 2014. And I think I was 14th person to join or something like that. So it was quite in the beginning. So I saw all the growth happening firsthand.
And what was your job at Commodore?
I started as a kind of a research manager. That means that I did everything from new products to certifying the products. There were moments where I had to buy tickets and board the plane the next morning to go to Brazil alone for a week or so.
And oh, wow.
There were a lot of, let's say, interesting times back then. So, my profession has always been in relations with the product itself.
I see. How old are you now?
I'm 33.
Okay. I'm pretty experienced, like on all different levels. Yes. So Commodule comes from not so much the hardware side.
It is the hardware side. It's the electronics. So in that sense, it has both. Of course, the software is super important because that's the key of it. But of course, hardware is such a big part of it because it's in such different formats depending on the customer. So you have to adapt quickly. You have to be super good in adapting your hardware as well.
I see. And you've been CEO with Ampler now for, I think, a couple of months?
Yes.
Have you been working with Ampler before?
Not so closely. Of course, I've been a part of its journey through the Clean Mobility Group for a bit of a time. But
that was with Commodore and...
Exactly.
And so Ampler belonging to one group in Tallinn, yeah.
Yeah, it belonged to one group, separated last year in 2024. And then the vehicle part of the group kind of went on its own. And I've been a part of the vehicle side of the group and now joined Ampler side this year, basically.
Okay, let's test you. Let's talk about the brand.
let's do that.
Hey, who and what is Ampler? What is your USP? What is your vision?
It's good that you ask. We've been working on it so hard in the past couple of weeks.
So yeah, I've been you really have a background, in it. So it's not just a fresh start, I guess.
No.
Super interesting, like a turning point, I guess, as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So Ampler has been, let's say, a sort of a techie brand. It started by a group of friends who wanted to make a very lightweight vehicle that would just look like another bike. You wouldn't immediately know that it's an e-bike, and that is one of our main USPs and still remains the same. To be lightweight, very timeless, and look like a regular bike. So if you're cycling past someone on the road, they're like, wow, how come they are so fast? You wouldn't immediately
not anymore, grasp. I think, because nowadays it's just like so common to have e-bikes, but it's very clean. Like the aesthetic is very clean and, as you said, it timeless. Mm-hmm. And like this is something that you're going to stick with as well.
Absolutely.
And it's always been this way, yeah.
Yeah, so... Of course, we're thinking of broadening our product offering and the portfolio, but that doesn't mean that the clean aesthetic will disappear. It will be still one of our key components in the future as well.
Okay, so we have the aesthetics. What else? You mentioned the tech savviness.
Yeah, it's been kind of a tech-savvy brand, but we have, let's say, changed the branding in the past couple of months quite a bit. And of course, that goes hand in hand with also me joining. But it has gone more, let's say, family oriented and warmer, and kind of to show that everybody could take an e-bike around town. So you don't have restrictions. You can have a child seat in the back and easily use it instead of a car, and just kind of take Ampler more to the people and connect to the people more again. So it's on the warmer side, the brand, and
I think
it's a good direction to go to.
So it's a target group that has kind of shifted your focus.
It has.
And do you think that in the beginning, with Ampler being very coming from a techie background, mm-hmm. that it was also attracting that kind of audience? People wanted to move light and fast and maybe even have that tech background attraction?
A bit, but I think that what Ampler's, let's say, strength had been is the touring bikes that kind of made the audience people who actually enjoy going touring. So it didn't attract, say, maybe younger adults that much, but we have really seen the shift in the past 2 months there, mm-hmm. after launching the new brand. So maybe just to compare, even women are buying more of Amplers right now, a lot more, to be honest. It was, I think, mm-hmm. around 20% before, and now it's 50 or even more. So it has grown rapidly.
Is that for you one of your key points to push that to the female side? The female potential, we have to say.
Yeah, the female potential was untapped, I'd say. Mm-hmm. So it's great to see that happening. I wouldn't say that it's our main goal to push it only as a female bike brand, definitely not. But I think that shows that it has become more, let's say, family oriented and kind of warmer to speak to the women as well.
Mm-hmm. But you still have the tech approach. I mean, it's it's in the integral part of the brand. Can you quickly explain to us not so techy Germans what Ampler has? Like, I guess theft protection is one of the key elements.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. So all the Amplers are connected. They have a GPS module in it. So instead, if you are in a position where your bike is stolen, then we're able to track it down, hopefully collect it. And that is kind of, let's say, an extra layer of security that I think is quite common already for bikes and just in the e-mobility industry overall. And it's such a natural part of it, and it's always expected. So I think that... let's say security is such a big part of owning an expensive bike that it will only, say, become more secure in the future as well. So we have an IoT inside. So that's maybe difficult to grasp if you do not know what an IoT is, but that is basically the controlling module of the bike. So it will take all the statistics of the bike, how long you ride, what are the speeds. It will tell you the battery levels. It will be kind of an interface to show what your bike is about. But also it has those security levels in it, like the GPS tracking and theft protection.
You have a line made for you. And that's,
exactly.
I guess, something that you're questioning now or pushing even with re-envisioning the brand.
Mm-hmm.
You said the US is moving more towards family. That's mm-hmm. interesting. So more of a daily thing, but it's, you're not, are you going to move into the cargo bike field? Is that something that you're eyeing on?
We definitely have thought about it. Mm-hmm. It's one of the options in the future. I would say that we have actually quite an exciting roadmap ahead. I cannot reveal it, of course, not in detail. We'd like to keep it under wraps. But our goal is to bring back kind of a refreshness into the industry itself. And we're just, let's say, strategically thinking what are the next, I wouldn't say trends, but more necessities in the industry. So we'll try to, you know, provide more than just one type of bike. So we'll definitely broaden it in the future.
Interesting. Can I ask you, do you mm-hmm. see Ampler as a bike brand, as an e-bike brand, as a tech brand, as a mobility brand, as a mop tech brand? what's your perception of the brand itself?
Mm-hmm. For now, it has been a bike brand. Definitely, we want it to be a mobility brand. Mm-hmm. I think the times are over where we can just provide bikes to people and say that's good enough. It definitely isn't. A bike is just, let's say, the starting point. We want to offer more value for the price of the bike to people. We want it to be more of a companion and a nice addition to your, you know, daily life. You would kind of to make it so you would look at the bike in the morning, you would be, yeah, I want to take it. I want to commute with a bike. This is my first choice of commuting, and to make it supernatural to all of the people who buy it, and that they would, you know, not just see it as a vehicle getting from point A to point B, but we will build on top of the bike and bring more value to the user as well.
I know you're not going to reveal the roadmap, but what kind of aspects are you thinking of?
Mm-hmm. We're definitely thinking of, as I said, the family perspective, where we want to provide more different types of vehicles. So all members of the families maybe can be a part of the Ampler brand. Nothing is set in stone, but also, you know, we just see that that there are so many different e-vehicles happening right now, As you said, cargo bikes are going so big. They have for the past couple of years. That is just also a very family-oriented way of you know, providing mobility. So it's one of the options to do that. In addition to that, we actually have such a big know-how of the IoT and electronics and the mobile application and just the more techy side of it, not just the vehicle side of it.
But so is that comes on top that what we were talking about, the experience, it's not just a bike, it's... I mean, you want to become a love brand, I think, is
yes.
Probably.
Absolutely.
and the bike to become not a tool, but an experience.
Absolutely. There's such joy in riding a bike.
Yeah, and I think we all love it. Yeah.
Exactly.
The question is, how can you turn a bike, a thing, a tool, into what you said, something that is your first choice and something that you love looking at? It's not just an aesthetic aspect. I think the design love you're not talking about. So this is more of an integral part of your life. And so you're saying that like the technical side is an element of this, including like making it smoother, opening it up.
Yeah.
I think I get it. I'm not sure if I get it. Like all of the aspects, but...
I think it is from different aspects, the combination of different things. Of course, you need to, first of all, have a really good vehicle so you would really, you know, enjoy riding it. But also, you need to have the tracking in it. You need to have some sort of a control over the bike. And maybe if you have different sort of vehicles, you also see your family, where they are, what's happening. You kind of it unites your family in that sense. But I think that
also maybe the bike becoming not just a thing that you ride, but becoming even a bigger part of your life.
Absolutely.
Being on your mobile phone.
Exactly. So one of the key things that came out of our internal discussions as well, that why all of we enjoy riding our bikes in the morning and the evening, is it just gives us so much freedom. It gives us the time to, you know, put down the screens and kind of connect to ourselves and just ride. We have a lot of parks and greenery here, and just ride through that. And it gives you a sense of calm. So it's a really, say, good emotion that comes with just using your bike on an everyday. It is a kind of a stress relief, so to speak, as well, because movement always has that sort of effect. So we really want people to get on the bike and just feel it and see what it's all about.
Yeah, interesting, because you're a brand that also is on the screen, you know. It's a connection to nature, and you say, you know, drop the screen, but still it's part of our lives. I mean, this is not just something that we want to get rid of.
Yeah.
And it also can become part, I think, of just sitting there and seeing whether it be the statistics or having your bike on your phone. I don't think it's a bad thing at all. Because it can make you smile and not detach you from the experience. But interesting, the connection on different levels, like the connectivity, bringing the connectivity out of the tech world into nature, connecting with nature on all levels. Super interesting, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just quickly, can I ask you about Estonia and Tallinn? Because I don't know how you think that we look at the Baltic states. Can I just ask what the German view, what we think about you?
I don't think you know too much about us. You don't maybe know what are the, let's say, the attractions here, or what are the maybe the main values, or what are these countries about? Because for some countries, it's super, let's say, obvious. For I would say for Norway, everybody immediately sees the mountains. But for Estonia, what do you actually see? It's maybe difficult to say. For me, of course, it's easy to say. I've been here my whole life. But I mean, Estonia is a very like green country, in a sense that we have so much nature. We're by the sea. It's just It's a really pleasant place to be at.
You have, like, I checked, 1.3 million roughly people. Mm-hmm. Yes. You only have 450,000 in Tallinn. I mean, only mm-hmm. it's almost, yeah, a third of, more than a third of Estonians mm-hmm. living in Tallinn. But what's the place like? How do you feel, breathe, live? Is it buzzy? Is it relaxed? Well,
Tallinn definitely is. Tallinn is the, let's say, the business place of Estonia, definitely. So you can feel that the pace here is totally different than in other smaller cities, other cities, where it's calmer, it's very relaxed and laid back. Okay. But in Tallinn, the city center, it's definitely busy. I think we like it that way as well, because mm-hmm. then it's always an option. You take your bike, and you just go out of town, and you're immediately in this calm environment.
So Tallinn,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Mm-hmm. So is it worth traveling to Tallinn?
Definitely worth traveling to Tallinn. Tallinn itself, of course, has a lot of heritage. It has the old town. It's by the sea, so, you know, there are people sailing a lot. That's become so much more popular because we right now have more harbors in city center, and it's just it's beautiful here, especially in the summer. But I mean, Estonia overall, I would definitely recommend you to visit.
Okay.
And then first thing I would tell you, if you manage to go out of Tallinn, to visit a bog in the morning during sunrise, because that is the essence of kind of Estonian nature and its beauty.
Oh, wow. Okay. I checked flights. We have direct flights, Munich, Tallinn.
Very good.
So, and I actually am 4.9% Baltic. Mm-hmm. I did this DNA test. Have you ever mm-hmm. heard of the DNA test?
I have.
It was a present from my dad for his birthday, and we all did it. And we all found out we're anything but German. A lot of east, north, west, and 4.9% of me is Baltic.
Have you been here?
Have you
visited?
That's why. No. That's okay. why. I'm always traveling a lot during the summertime. That's mm-hmm. my problem. I have time mm-hmm. from October, November to March. Mm. And that's the dark times.
Well, then, I would recommend you to come in December, because then we have the Christmas markets and...
Oh, we have enough Christmas markets here, Eva. Yes, seriously.
I know, but ours is also super special.
okay, talking about Christmas markets in June, when we talk about biking. Mm-hmm. bike-friendly, Tallinn? Is it bike-friendly? Do you have the infrastructure?
It's getting better by the year. So I'd say that it's okay right now. It's really okay to commute. But a couple of years back, it was not that great, to be honest. It was quite dangerous. I wouldn't put my kid back on the seat and go have a ride. Mm-hmm. If you think about like 5 to 8 years back. But right now, there are a lot more infrastructure that has been created that makes it better. Of course, I still, every time I travel abroad, I see that it can be so much better. So I'm hoping that the Tallinn will catch up soon.
Yeah, it can also be worse. I've just returned from Scotland, and Edinburgh and Glasgow are still bad with city infrastructure, like cities itself. Around the cities, it's awesome, but in the cities itself. Mm-hmm. Anyways, just more about Tallinn, Estonia. In one respect, we see mm-hmm. that from the German perspective, the Baltics are super progressive when it comes to digital technical stuff. Is mm-hmm. that something? Are you ambitious? Do you have a startup atmosphere in Estonia?
We definitely do. I think that's started... from the ambition of, you know, developing and growing, kind of catching up with the rest of the world after we regained independence. And we quickly had this kind of IT reforms. I think it was like 1999 or 1998, where we had, I think, even a campaign about getting computers to each household. So it started very early and it quickly caught up, meaning that nowadays, I mean, we have been voting online for I don't know how long already. We do all the tax filings, everything, healthcare, everything's online. So there's nothing on, there are things on paper, of course, but usually you can still get them online as well. So we have adapted to it quite quickly, I'd say, and kind of have a knack for it because that was one area that was just pushed quite heavily after regaining independence.
I see. Geopolitical-wise, is that something that is super present with you currently? Are you worried?
I was worried, of course. I think it's a very natural thing. But, you know, worrying does not get you anywhere. It just stresses you out. It is so tiring.
Yeah, so it robs energy.
Absolutely. And Estonians are, of course, very resilient. But we're also very, let's say, there are 2 feet on the ground. So we really see the situation to what it is and to not, let's say, we're cautious, preparing always for the worst scenarios here and there. But we're very, you know, just mindful of what is actually happening, what are the reasonings behind all the actions, and there are not any reasonings to be fair, but that's just like how Estonians are. We're preparing, but I think that most of us cannot worry too much anymore. We're just trying to look at the situation for what it is. 3 years ago, when the Ukrainian war started, then of course, I think there were so many emotions going through all the Baltic states. Politics is a big part of our everyday lives after that.
Yeah, but yeah, as you said, it's soaking up all the energy, so we need to stay positive, I guess.
It really is. That's why we need to look forward as well and just be mindful of what's happening.
Yeah. Are you very European-oriented?
I'd say so, yes.
So Germany is probably your biggest market.
Germany is our biggest market, absolutely.
How do you look on Germany? Do you see any difference from Estonian target group reactions, the way you break the market to Germany, or is it very similar?
It's not similar. I'd say that Germany is a totally different market.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Why?
Absolutely. I think that also comes from the, let's say, the tech savviness that we are very willing to, you know, make a lot of purchases online. But I think that Germans really, what I've experienced, and also when I've talked to our customers, they really want to come and see the bike and ride it, and then it makes total sense. Of course, you want to try it out. You want to ask questions, and you want to know the core of the product and the brand and the people behind it. And I really like that. Mm-hmm. And that's why whenever we go to our showrooms, if somebody's willing to talk to me in English, I will definitely ask questions from them and like to get to know them as well, because I really like to see the customers firsthand.
Yeah, so you're more or less a D2C brand. You have three showrooms, I think.
Yes, we have a small one here in Estonia. It's more of a, let's say, testing grounds in that sense. Yeah, we can do test rides. All the people come and visit. It's a part of our factory. We show the factory as well. That's very interesting.
Another reason to go to Tallinn.
Exactly.
I mean, this is how you do it. It's a D2C brand. You want to ride the brand, you just come to Tallinn, have a great holiday. We work with Visit Estonia.
Exactly.
We also can do that in Zurich and in Berlin.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So we have two other showrooms. They've been active for years now. It's super nice to see that, you know, our new product has also livened up the showrooms and the people. It was expected for such a long time. So the customers as well as our own employees are all excited again. And it's such a refreshing feeling.
Yeah, cool. But are you thinking of moving more into a multi-channel approach? Because I checked and I can test bikes here, but this with ambassadors. So you have people spread around the world who have a few bikes, and you can call them, talk them, email them, and set up a test ride.
Exactly. So we have the ambassador program as well. And the main purpose of it was that, of course, you want to get to the people and you want to find the people who actually have mini bikes, have tried them, know all about them. And, you know, the word of mouth is the best sort of marketing. And you really see the person trusting the brand itself and as a sole representative, putting all their, let's say, trust behind it. So it's just a super way, good way to get closer to the people. But you can't imagine that you'll, you know, open showrooms in all different cities around Europe. So the ambassador program is just the perfect solution. And I think with the human touch, so from one person to the other is just like the cherry on top.
Yeah, they're not really salespeople, are they? They're ambassadors. Yeah. It's a difference. It does make a difference.
Absolutely. They have their own jobs. They have their own lives. And they just really love the product and the brand. And that's why they're doing it.
Yeah, interesting idea. Are you thinking of building that up and as a multi-channel approach, if you like?
Definitely. But it hasn't been our main focus in the past month. So it's definitely on the... very busy with the new product, but it's definitely on the books, and it's in the list to get more, you know, service partners, representatives here and there, and also to broaden our ambassador program.
Yeah. Before we move on to Nova and the new product, one more thing. I mean, I'm talking to a female, as I said, one of the few female CEOs in the industry. But it's more than that. It's not just you, I've heard. You have kind of a female force in Ampler, which is pretty unique. I read that 2/3 of the management team are female.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, you've been in the industry for some time. You haven't been always like part of a 2/3 management team, I guess.
No.
In your experience, how does that affect the company as a whole? Your approach to the bikes, to the industry, to the target audience, and the product itself?
I'd say that it came very naturally. It wasn't something we really planned for. It was more about the key people and the values that everybody represented. And that's just how the, let's say, the 2/3 of the management being female happened. But I think that as an effect, it has been great. The energy is definitely different.
In what respect? What do you think?
I think it's calmer. We are very, very calm, very, you know, kind of goal-oriented, but also very reasonable in that sense. So it's been a kind of a... Of course, we've come from such hectic times that maybe that's just naturally a part of the new chapter kind of. But it's been very calm, a very good energy, and just a very forward-looking kind of thinking.
Interesting. And we tapped into this a bit. I'm pretty much an advocate. I've been now for I don't know how many years for, as you said, tapping the female potential in the cycling industry. We know that there are 50% women out there and that this is not represented not within the industry, not within the products, and not within the people buying the products yet. But they do want to.
I believe so as well. Yeah.
Yeah. How do we do this? Different products?
Different products.
Design or brand language. Is that something?
The brand language definitely helps. I think that's what we've seen in the past months as well. It helps. But also when designing products, when bringing on new products and new features, it needs to, you know, speak to the values that that women have, family values, and just, you know, to give them some security and just even freedom in that sense, to kind of connect to the women out there who maybe have thought about owning an e-bike but have never been sure. Why should I do it? See a lot of, you know, couriers riding these heavy e-bikes. Maybe that's the perception of an e-bike to some women.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. I would definitely want to change the perception. It doesn't have to be heavy or bulky. It doesn't have to be dangerous. It's just, it can be a very, let's say, easy adaptation. It's just like a regular bike. It just, you know, gives you maybe more freedom in the sense that you want to go to work with a bike as well, and you want to wear a skirt. You don't want to get there all sweaty. Mm-hmm. That's where, you know, riding an e-bike is just, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And then you're able to pick up your kid later as well. And it's a very, very natural part of your life. So I think mm-hmm. that for many women, it's just, you have some sort of a perception of e-bikes, but until you've tried it, you don't really know what it's about. So I've seen that a lot with my friends. They have now purchased bikes as well. I have not affected them, but they've just now kind of they felt comfortable to come and try it out. And I've taken the time to explain the value behind it. And just whenever a person actually rides an Ampler, if they haven't tried an e-bike before, then absolutely the emotions are just great. You can really see the joy in their eyes and them realizing that the perception was wrong. So I think that's the hardest task, definitely, make maybe not only women, but make people more understand that an e-bike can be like a regular bike. It's a very... but only better.
But this is the riding experience, and this is probably even more difficult for a D2C brand.
It is difficult. It is super difficult.
Maybe it's changing, you know.
I hope it's changing.
In 3 years' time, maybe mm-hmm. People are more accustomed to it. People trust it more. But as you said, the Germans like testing. They like riding. They like mm-hmm. getting the feel. Does the geometry, does it all fit? Maybe it's also the background that we have, which is very male-oriented, that it's a very technical in the sense of what are the specs and mm-hmm. what's this, you know, all the seating position. And it's getting really nerdy, which is very strenuous for me. I just want to have a good ride. I want it as simple as possible. As you said, simplify things, showing mm-hmm. that it's a natural part of your life and not something external, complicated that might break or, you know, is hard to handle. This is mm-hmm. this is something that I don't want a Porsche that is hard and difficult to drive. I don't want a Ferrari that is noisy and hard and difficult to drive. Mm-hmm. I want a smooth piece that, as you said, part of yourself and feels like home.
I agree with that. I think that's very beautifully put. That feels like home, that feels a part of you. That's definitely, you know,
you can use that line.
Oh, thank you.
Which brings us to the USB charger, mm-hmm. because that's also part of home.
That is
making things easier. You've introduced Nova, mm-hmm. a new bike that is chargeable with mm-hmm. a USB-C, just plug it in like you plug in your computer mm-hmm. and charge your bike. Exactly. Explain.
So the concept actually was super simple. Well, first of all, I think it also came from a business perspective. So it was a lot of things kind of falling together in that sense. We feel that the industry, you know, hasn't had any innovation in the past couple of years. Really, after the boom, it was more of everybody's warehouses being full of, let's say, in that sense, outdated products, because there was such an anticipation of the market growth continuing for years and years and years. And when that didn't happen, then mainly brands were just fighting for survival and buying or selling the bikes that they have. So we were really also feeling that we're standing still. We want to kind of get a fresh start for ourselves, but we want to bring value and we want to do something new that hasn't been done before. And in that sense, the answer was quite simple. It was the USB-C charging that in all other electronics also becomes a standard and hasn't just been done in bike industry before. But we're thinking, why not? We'll have to try.
Because it's so funny because it seems too simple to be easy. You know what I mean?
It
simplifies everything and people think it can't be that easy. It must be really, really, really like impossible. So that's not that's why we not do it. I'm not an electronics
Absolutely.
Person. So you've shown that it is possible. And it doesn't take
it
forever,
possible.
The charging. So that's just something that we have to add. Sorry.
Exactly. So when we charge the bike with our Ampler-specific charger before, it was 2.5 hours. And right now with the USB-C, it's 3, so it's not a big loss in that sense. Especially if you think of the, how comfortable it is to take a small charger with you everywhere, to have it for all the devices, instead of taking this big, bulky charger everywhere.
I love it.
It's so annoying. So, but we have a brilliant engineering team. And when we came up with the idea, of course, there were so many restrictions we had to play around here and there. But nobody ever said that, no, it's not doable. They're more like, yeah, it is doable. Let's just find a way how to do it. So it was several steps behind it. But, you know, it's just such a low-hanging fruit. In that sense, you cannot maybe call it innovation because USB-C chargers have been around for a long, long time, but they haven't been in the industry. It's kind of the next step that if we would not have taken this, somebody else would have in the next year or so, I would believe.
But you were the first.
Yes.
Coming out of Tallinn.
Yeah. We managed to be first, and it's great. I haven't heard that anybody else is doing it right now. They're definitely thinking about it right now.
We already
got that feedback after we launched it end of March. We got friends from the industry who were like, we thought this is not doable.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really amazed by it. But I'm really glad that we made it happen. And I think that it's kind of, you know, maybe disrupted the industry in that sense a bit, that everybody understood that now's the time to start innovating again.
Yeah. As I said, again, it's like, it's so hard with B2C to show it to people how easy it is. But, you know, you have to get the message out there. That's your job now.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly. Yeah.
A tough marketing job. It's a challenge just to get people to pick on and then it rolls. Also, the 4 years guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
Why? How you offer a 4 years guarantee on the bike?
I'm not sure how much you know about Ampler's past as well. The previous model, when it came out, had a lot of issues. There were many warranty cases. This time, we've taken, let's say, our time to go through all the older issues to make sure that those are now done for. These are repaired. And just put our time and effort into the quality and to show that we have really put in the effort and the work and that we are sure of the product being exceptional right now is just a statement of giving out the 4-year warranty. So we really want people to, especially if it's a new product, to feel comfortable to purchase this product, especially if they haven't heard too much market feedback yet, so it would be easy for them to make the decision because they would understand that now the warranty time is twice as much. So even if there's something coming out in the next couple of years, then I know that it will be taken care of.
It's a handshake. It's 4 years. It's a number. It's a figure. But I think it's more than that. It's an emotional thing. Trust.
Definitely. Trust.
trust is super important, especially with women, I guess, and the family thing.
Trust and reassurance.
Yeah. Great. Hey, Eva, looking into the future, bright, happy, exciting, I guess, busy and exciting for you.
Definitely. As I've told you already several times, we see such a energy shift. So we're in, let's say, such a good headspace in moving forward. And the plans that we're making, we see internally that people are excited. So it's been a tough road, maybe in the past couple of years, but we're excited. We're definitely excited. So what's to come?
How can people now reach out to you if they are interested in Ampla? What's the best thing to do for the German audience to check out on the website if there are any ambassadors? To pick up the phone
to
call Eva?
Ambassadors? maybe I will not give out my number exactly, but...
not in the show notes. Okay.
Not in the show notes, no. But definitely... go to the website, see either do you have an ambassador nearby or maybe a showroom is nearby. See what fairs we are attending. We also have an event team and to kind of see how to get closer to Ampler. So we're doing a lot of the steps in the coming months to get closer to people all around Germany as well. And if you really see that... there's not a great way, then, I mean, reaching out to us and just letting us know that we would like to have your presence in some area would be great input. We would really appreciate it. Because of course, we have directions for the next couple of months, but we would really also appreciate just to know where our maybe next potential bigger customer base is at, to think about either doing a pop-up or maybe opening a service partner location or a showroom even.
Awesome. I'll see you soon at Eurobike and then I'll just come to Tallinn.
Absolutely.
That's the way I'm
going to
do it.
And then I will either show you around the Tallinn or give you a list of great activities to do here.
Thank you so much, Eva. That was thank you for your time, for your insights and all the best for the brand. It's a such a good looking and convincing product. We can see your ambitions and you pushing forward into another direction, and this is what the industry needs, you know. People
Absolutely.
Also coming from the outside, I guess, seeing what is lacking, being brave enough to tackle it.
I agree. I think that we have to bring change and bring the energy back to the industry.
Yeah, maybe
so
a different kind of energy as well.
Absolutely. Bring a good new step in this e-mobility sector and just bring a great energy wave to the e-bike sector.
Good vibes from Estonia.
Absolutely.
And female folks. Hey, thank you so much. And to all
thank
the
you.
Listeners, thanks for being you. Hear you soon. Und nimm fleißig das Rad. Adieu. Bye-bye.